heavy on my mind. Oh, then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be, oh, a lovely day.
Welcome to Wanda's Picks, a Black arts and culture program of the African Sisters Media Network. And that is Amakayla from her Being in Love, and that's Lovely Day by Bill Withers. And we're going to go ahead and let you hear the rest of that. And we are going to play an interview from the archives. It'll be a pleasant surprise. Because my first guest is not quite working out this morning, so we'll get him in the studio. I know you're real excited to hear from Byron Hurt, so we'll get him in another time. He's got a great film called Soul Food Junkies that's going to be premiering on ITVS, PBS's Independent Lens in January 14th to be exact, and they're going to be premiering Independent Lens on Monday nights instead of Thursday, so that's a real coveted spot, I hear. So we're going to go to the archives, as I mentioned, and then we're going to have a live interview with the new intern for the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir, Aaliyah Tomlinson, and she's going to be joined by the director of the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir, Terrence Kelly, and that's really exciting. That's going to be our live interview a little bit later on in the show. So here's Amakayla, Being in Love, Lovely Day by Bill Withers. What's left of it? Something from Nova Lima, Africa Londo. Nova Lima's out of Peru.
Caracoles la trajeron de España. esclavitud.
Así.
Interview with Michelle Rosewoman. We're talking about Ed Kelly, Terrence Kelly's late father. And Michelle Rosewoman was in town at the Oakland Public Conservatory in a special concert to dedicate the new Ed Kelly concert hall. And I think this would be really fitting. So I'm going to play as much of this as I can because the interview is longer than we're going to have time for. So if you want to hear the whole interview, you need to go and check out Michelle Rosewoman in the archived recordings. But here's a little bit, a little teaser. And George Clinton is actually, she mentions him in the interview, and he's actually going to be in town this week at Yoshi's, I believe the 14th and 15th in San Francisco. So you want to check that out. Dr. George Clinton. I'm taping now. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to this second try at the interview.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, and I wonder if we could maybe talk about Ed Kelly because he is the reason why you made this journey.
He's the reason why many things for me. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
The journey and And I met him at an early stage in my life, and he very much shaped my direction as a piano player, along with my other influences that kind of kicked into place later. Yes, definitely, Ed Kelly was my mentor, my teacher, my friend, and I really hear and feel him coming through me, mm-hmm. and that is really a blessing because he kind of helps me to slow down, sit down, and lay it out, you know, real precise, deliberate, and soulfully, you know. Mm-hmm. Those are my roots in the music. He definitely shaped me in many, many ways, and he is really missed whenever I come to the Bay Area. It's a hole there. It's nearly as big as the missing of my mother and father when I come out here, mm-hmm. really on that level. And yeah. he meant so much to me, and always will, and always will.
Mhm. Yeah. So how did you come to meet Ed Kelly and study with him?
Okay, well, let's see. Stories always, I never know where to start them because they always go back. One reminds me of before. But if I could put it simply, I auditioned for the music department at UC Berkeley, mm-hmm. and I improvised for my audition. So I was rejected as a music major, mm-hmm. and then I auditioned to take an ear training class, and the woman said, well, why aren't you auditioning for music as a major? And I told her that I had and had not been accepted, and she slammed her hand on the table. She said, I disagree with their decision, and she got me in. Mm-hmm. So soon after getting in, I heard about Laney Junior College having a big band and needing a I heard about Laney needing a pianist for the big band, mm-hmm. and so I auditioned and I got in, and that's when I met Ed. So little by little, within 3 or 4 months, I had completely phased out of UC Berkeley and into hanging at Laney. I never enrolled. I took a couple of semesters of a harmony class with Mr. Diamante, mm-hmm. and I hung as much as I could around and with Ed, and in the next few years his influence was it was a real grassroots kind of situation. Although we were at the school, there was no formal training with Ed. I never took private lessons. It was just about hanging, like the way people used to learn. So that's how I met, and from that point on, we just retained a close contact. And before I moved to New York in 78, I had the opportunity to play a double bill at the Keystone Corner on a Monday night. I had my group, and Ed Kelly was there playing solo. Mm-hmm. That was a great honor. I left here having played the Keystone and having played a double bill with my mentor, and many years later came back and played a duo concert with Ed at Yoshi's with Tui Heath and Ray Drummond in the rhythm section.
Nice.
So that was all wonderful. I have to say, when I listened to that, I needed some more Ed in me because, as I say, he was so centered and took his time. There was nowhere to run to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I was in a hurry, it seemed. So I think I've settled a lot, and I know that Ed's influence is something that helps to shape my direction to this day.
Mhm. Right. Yeah, and the winds are blowing on the East Coast with rain and everything. How did you get up there?
Well, it just so happened that although for this event, I had a flight booked for Monday the 29th, which would have meant I didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Right after booking the flight, I got asked to do a very special event in Memphis, Tennessee, and they wanted me there on the 29th, so they flew me there, changed the ticket,
mm-hmm.
flew me in there on the 28th, and flew me here on the 30th.
Mm.
So I actually got out on Sunday. It was set up that way beforehand, and it means that I missed the worst of everything there, although I hear when I go back, there's likely still to be no power, electricity.
Mm-hmm.
There is none where I live.
Right, yes. How are your friends, family there?
Everyone out there is at various degrees of struggle. Some have power,
mm-hmm.
Some don't. I live on the Lower East Side, so I'm in the area that was hardest hit.
Mm.
Others are with power. I think that it must be quite a scene right now where you can't walk out your door and buy food or anything with everything being shut down in the area. So
yeah.
A lot of people are finding ways to get uptown. I think the cab drivers are very happy right through here.
Mm-hmm.
No subway system, although I heard the buses are free today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's good. That's good. In New Orleans, they're having the 14th annual Voodoo Fest that's put on by, what's the sister's name? Tracy Kelly, out of Voodoo Authentica, and that's right, sort of in the, trying to think, the tourist area. I'm trying to think what the name
Bourbon
is.
Bourbon Street.
Yeah, Bourbon mm-hmm. Street. Yeah, exactly. And so they're going to be honoring the ancestors at the end of Voodoo Fest, which is at 7 o'clock. So 5 o'clock our time, and they're going to be doing a prayer, and particularly, you know, praying for the folks that are suffering because of Hurricane Sandy.
A lot of folks, a lot of people in Haiti.
Yeah.
No accident that all of this happens at,
mm-hmm.
at Halloween and Dia de Muertos, which is Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's when I'm playing here for Ed, so
mm-hmm.
it's really on the very day where we honor our Egun, speaking
mm-hmm.
in the Yoruba terms.
Yes.
And so that's what time it is, huh?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And I was just thinking when I was your website is really nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Reverb Nation. I mean, the videos and the music. It's really, really easy to be connected to you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, I tend to use my main website, but I can't, which is just MichelleRoseWoman.com, but
mm-hmm.
that can't be updated in the same way by me.
Mm-hmm.
But I can keep the tracks changing and adding and the video clips posting whatnot at Reverb Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Also at Facebook, I constantly post new content. Pretty soon I'm going to be putting up some photos of what my past couple of days were, which were incredibly interesting. I was on a panel in Memphis, Tennessee with Dr. George Clinton of the Funkadelics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dr. Clinton, myself, and Alex Pate, Alex S. Pate, who is a hip-hop academic
mm-hmm.
educator
mm-hmm.
In Minneapolis. So the three of us were part of the Berklee College conference, which is actually Berklee City Music, a program for 4 to 12th graders with
mm-hmm.
20 to 30 sites throughout the country and Puerto Rico. Very grassroots. There's all these sites that perpetuate the music and the teaching of the music to
mm-hmm.
young people. And this was connected to Stax Records in Memphis, and we, Al Bell was the executive director of Stax Record, was with all of us for days and a speaker, and we had a tour, personalized tour of the studio and a lot of exchange between the worlds of pop, funk, jazz, and Latin music
mm-hmm.
in terms of how it can be best taught in such a way to bring the idea of social change through music to young people and amongst ourselves, how to utilize it as a tool for social change. So it was very interesting, and my time spent with Dr. Clinton was especially interesting because that's an extremely intelligent man and a really kind soul.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know him on a personal level. I certainly didn't, and it was a real surprising and wonderful opportunity that's led to a great connection between us. And the websites are all great for us to be able to let the public know what we're doing, and it's nice. I really love the tools of today's technology for our ability to connect directly with the public,
mm-hmm.
to communicate directly with folks that are appreciating music, and it's all very encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, a friend of mine, Cecil, what's Cecil's last name? Cecil Brown, filmmaker and educator out of UC. I think he was at Berklee, and I think he might be at Irvine. But he has this project called Digital Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought of that when you were talking about, you know, these tools that we use to help us stay connected. And then you were talking about how this particular program that invited you as a panelist was looking at how the four of you or the three of you?
Three of us.
The three of you could share with young people how one can use art for social change.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking at that. I think it might have been the concert at Keystone with Julian Priester, Julius Hempel, Paquita Carroll, and Oliver Lake. Was that the concert where Ed Kelly was on solo piano that you mentioned?
Wait a minute, you're mixing some things here. What was the concert you're mentioning?
Keystone Corner.
Well, but the one with, you saw a video?
No. You mentioned on your bio from your website. It talks about a concert at Keystone Corner. And remember, you mentioned that you had your band at Keystone Corner.
Oh, that was a different band. No, that band was with trumpeter, St. Louis trumpet player Russell Siddique, who was based here for many years, but who's been in Europe for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And a tenor soprano player who named Leon Fernandez, who was a great player but seemed to have decided that music wasn't his thing. Leon, if you're out there, I always wondered what happened to you. Such a great young musician back then.
Mm-hmm.
I had a group called the Lunar Ensemble, being that I'm from here.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, I'm from Oakland, but I've been in New York for 34 years.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as what you mentioned, those are just all the individuals that I've worked with, together.
Mm-hmm.
By Katie Carroll had me working with Julian Priester, Julius Hempel,
mm-hmm.
And others here before I left for New York.
Okay.
But that was Baikita's group, and Baikita was one of the founding members of the Black Arts group from St. Louis, BAG, and he was my neighbor. Through him, I met Oliver Lake, Julius Hempel, Lester Bowie, Roscoe Mitchell, on and on. All the AACM and BAG folks I met through my connection to Baikita. It's all, like I say, I can't begin the story in any one place.
Right, yeah, and it was so great that you were with us this summer at the Hillsburg Jazz Festival, and you featured with special guest Julian Priester, so that was really nice.
It was great for me, yeah,
mm-hmm.
a great honor, and first time that we played in that way together and spent time like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus to be a part of the Hillsburg Jazz Fest and all that Jessica Felix does there,
mm-hmm.
which is, vital presentation of great music and in a setting where she makes musicians all feel very looked out for and appreciated, and the audience does as well. It was a great experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and it's just one thing about Hillsburg, which is different from some of the larger jazz festivals, you actually can talk to the artists and you can get close to them, because a lot of times they're on the stage and your path never crosses in front of them, because they go out one door and you go out another door. And
well, yeah, she said set up real different. She wants the musicians to hang through the weekend,
mm-hmm.
and she really makes that happen by housing everyone for the weekend and even sending us a masseuse.
yeah, Dafina, Kopisha. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's really wonderful. And then it was so cool to find out that you're good friends with Miranda Bergman, a good friend of mine, that we share a good friend.
She's a wonderful muralist and political mm-hmm. activist, yeah.
Yeah, she is, mm-hmm. she is. You know, the Women's Building Project is just phenomenal, that mm-hmm. wonderful mural, and then her work with the print shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's busy with projects. She's, although she's retired from teaching,
mm-hmm.
finally, she's busy.
Yeah.
Doing what she does.
So tell me about these wonderful ensembles. We can start with your Yoruba.
Okay, well, that's the one to speak on right now, because New Yoruba has first debuted in 1983.
Mm-hmm.
Next year is our 30th anniversary, 2013, and it's my 60th.
Oh, seriously?
And, yes, seriously. So
congratulations.
Yeah, so we are going to record and release next year. Never recorded, although I'm hardly ever mentioned without reference to that ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
And that ensemble came from the two greatest influences. Well, it's more than two, but I'll keep it simple for the moment. But I was busy at the piano and Ed Kelly and whatnot when I discovered a class in Cuban Afro-Cuban percussion at Laney. And I walked in the door one summer, and really, I can say that's when my musical path was really born, when I directly encountered the mostly the non-secular aspects of Cuban folklore music, which is what that class took me straight into. I started playing percussion and congas there, and then, which was, I think I was about 19. And I started to learn the songs for the orishas, the cantos, and the spiritual realm that is reflected through this tradition, which came to Cuba and very strongly here now, but it came specifically from the Yoruba from Nigeria as well as from the Congo and from Dahomey and the Arara tribe into Cuba. And so I learned here directly from Marcus Gordon, who's well known in the area. He was my first teacher, and he brought me into the into a knowledge of the spiritual and religious aspects of the music. So after a while, these were very parallel worlds at the time. Jazz and Cuban folklore really did not cross or connect. And I was kind of moving into separate worlds. One is one retains tradition. You try to learn and retain the tradition. The other, you're expanding. You learn the tradition and expanding the tradition, the nature of jazz, more improvisation and expansion of tradition. And some would think that ne'er the twain shall meet, something like that, one of those things. But for me, in my dreams, literally in my dreams, they started to meet, and I started to hear the orisha cantos in the setting of kind of a contemporary jazz setting. And all of my writing as a composer, I was listening to and learning and being so shaped by the rhythmic traditions that came through this avenue, that anything I wrote, I could come back to later and find perfect fits from the folklore, either in mostly in terms of some of the rhythms, either rumba or bata rhythms that fit to what I had written, because they were already shaped by them in a non-intended way, but because it had shaped my whole concept as a writer and piano player, it was just always in there. So when I started to hear the music in this manner, I started to arrange some of it as I heard it. And during that time, I met Orlando Puntilla Rios in New York. I moved to New York in 78 and met Puntilla in 80. And I was playing with a Cuban songo group at the time. And Puntilla and Soundscape was a performance space run by Verna Gillis that brought together jazz and specifically the explosion of Cuban music that came with the Marielitos and the Cubans in the early 80s, which is where Puntilla was and where we all were experimenting and putting these idioms together. So Puntilla saw my direction and invited me to bata classes and to in order to learn the traditions as opposed to sitting on the drums, which really wasn't part of his world for women. And for me, that wasn't something I felt the need to challenge. I was in the midst of the most incredible learning situation I could imagine with the foremost master in our country who was willing to share knowledge. So I began to build repertoire for the ensemble around his repertoire and around his voice. And I proposed New Yoruba to the NEA, New Yoruba Musical Celebration of Cuba in America. I received the grant, and we debuted at the Public Theater in 1983.
Right.
So that's how that all came to be. And Puntilla was always there, kind of helping me to shape a very vital source of authentic and correct reference, you know, to be sure that what I presented was right from every angle, which was really important to me and to this day and will always be. It's why I study both traditions deeply. And for me, I find that a lot of the Cuban folklore, as opposed to coming out as a Latin jazz kind of fusion, for me, where it comes out is with a lot of funk and gospel kind of, it reveals itself.
Well, that is Michelle Rosewoman. And again, if you want to hear the rest of that interview, you have to go into the archives, because that was earlier. That was an interview that I recorded maybe a couple of months ago now. Aaliyah, is that you? Or is this you? Hi, Aaliyah.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. I was been looking forward to this great, this interview with you after your wonderful solo at the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir's, holiday concert that everyone sort of looks forward to on December 1st. Earlier this month, and then you have a concert coming up this Sunday, December 16th, with the Oakland Interfaith Youth Choir, which you are the new intern director of, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So let me read a little bit of your bio, and we're going to be joined by Terrence Kelly at some point during our conversation, and then I'll let you know when he joins us. So Aaliyah Tomlinson is the new intern director for the Oakland Interfaith Youth Choir. She has sung alto in the choir and Imani Community Church Choir under the direction of Terrence Kelly since 2009. Aaliyah loves to sing, and they began doing so at an early age, whether singing with their great aunt, reciting Oakland Freedom School chants, or singing with their church's children's choir directed by her mother. She and her sister share the gift of song each month at, how do you pronounce the name of the nursing center?
Bellican Gardens.
Bellican Gardens. Where is that at?
It's in East Oakland.
Mm-hmm. Where? East Oakland's big. Where at in East Oakland?
On 27th.
Okay.
Near 40th.
Uh-huh. Okay, excellent. So you've been going there, singing to the residents, for a long time, since you were in second grade. So that's many years of volunteerism and dedication. I'm sure the different residents that you've met over the years really enjoy it.
Yes, they really do. It's actually, over time, I've actually begun to appreciate it, because some of them don't have any visitors most of the time. So when they see our church come in, they just get happy that we're even there singing to them.
That's really, really great. And then for the past two summers, you participated in the Costa Rica mission trip to Puerto Limon, where you assisted in teaching the art of gospel music to newfound Afro-Caribbean friends. You also, you're a musician, you play the guitar and the piano under the tutelage of Byron Dyer. You attend KIPP King Collegiate High School, where you're co-president of your sophomore class, and you're inspired by the positive women in your family, and you're named after one of them, right? And the positive men in your community, and you aspire to study chemistry and music at Harvard University and to make meaningful impact on your community. So why don't you talk about gospel music and sort of what the draw is to you as an artist for gospel music, and maybe you could explain to our audience what gospel music is, because we have the Negro spirituals tradition, and then we have gospel music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why don't you talk a little bit about what gospel music is and why it's so important to you as an artist?
Gospel music is a connection with God, and it's like expressing how much you love God and in gospel music, and also the Negro spirituals. That's, to me, it's a part of my heritage, and just keeping those alive, because they're not really portrayed in the music today. So by being in Oakland Interfaith, I like to sing with the choir and keep that alive, the Negro spirituals and gospel, because it's just important to keep it alive and just first have that connection with God and give homage to your ancestors.
Yeah. Yeah, when I think about the Negro spirituals in particular, and that whole tradition of which, you know, gospel music is one of its children, I sort of think about these songs carrying our various stories and also messages, because when you know, Harriet Tubman, you know, you think about Harriet Tubman, you know, the woman who transported many people to freedom, you know, going back and forth to the South. People would sing songs, and they would be coded. They'd be have messages in there, similar to the whole quilting tradition. How these quilts were also stories of our lives. And you know, you're a really young person. You know, you're a young woman. What are you, 14 or something like that? 15?
I'm 15.
15? Okay. Yeah. And and the youth choir is I don't know how many of you all are there. About 20.
Yes, around there.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, I mean, some of the youngest, I believe, is like 8. Or no, I think.
About 12.
12, right. But sometimes you let 8-year-olds come in because they're just so talented. That's what your mother said. Or younger than 12.
Okay.
And then once you become 18, people are usually going off to college and you lose, you know, some of your membership. And for the youth to be sort of really committed to keeping this tradition alive, because these are, you know, sort of like folk songs, even some extent. I mean, they're classics, and you sang a classic, you know, your solo. Why don't you talk about that and sort of the type of personality of these young people, and what you have planned for the annual holiday concert this coming weekend at Imani Community Church.
Okay, well, the personality of the choir members, well, they're very energetic, and they have, in the choir, we have fun just rehearsing and singing the songs, and the choir member, they're very open to learn new things and new songs, and they encourage and help the other choir members, whether it's in their section or another section. They're willing to help. They're energetic in the choir. And most of all, they just have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what song did you sing for us at the Paramount Theater on December 1st? And tell me about some of your other favorite songs.
I sang Ride Up in the Chariot, which is a Negro spiritual, and it was a cappella, and that song was about connecting, I think it was a about going to heaven. Hello?
Yeah, I couldn't hear you for a minute there. You said it was about connecting, and then I didn't hear you anymore.
It was about going to heaven, and yeah, that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Is it literal or figurative or both?
I think it's both, because right up in the chariot early in the morning, that's like open. It's about going to heaven, seeing God, going to the front of the gate, and then soon I'll see my Jesus. I think that's secretive because it's both. Like, and also the Underground Railroad, you're saying soon I'll see my Jesus early in the morning. It's like freedom. It's a form of freedom.
Yeah. What are some of the other songs that you like singing?
In the choir, I like singing "Oh, Give Thanks." That's also a cappella. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." That's most of the song. And I also like singing some of our Christmas songs, "Angels We Have Heard on High," "Deck the Halls," Jesus or What a Wonderful Child and songs like that.
So tell me a little bit about Sunday's concert, and how many have you performed in?
I've performed in 3 concerts, and this Sunday is at Imani Community Church, 3300 MacArthur Boulevard. With the concert, it's only the youth choir singing. We sing many songs, and it's just fantastic. And we're encouraging people to come and share the fun with us.
It's also, I think you're having some kind of a drive as well, aren't you?
Yes, we're having a silent auction. That's just where some choir members donate items that they would like to have, as if it's tickets to, for example, the movie theater, or a certificate to a bowling alley, things like that, or like quilts or knitted scarves. And during intermission, people just walk around and bid on what they would like to have.
Nice. So how do you balance all this? You know, now you're going to be, you know, sort of interning as the choir director. What made you want to, you know, put in an application with ACTA and decide you wanted to, you know, be the director of a choir? What does that entail, and how do you juggle, you know, schoolwork with your travel, with your, you know, community service? How do you, you know, plus you can get into rehearsals. How do you juggle all that? And also,
well,
back to the first question, what made you want to be, you know, in a leadership position with the choir?
Well, I wanted to be the intern director because I wanted to help share gospel music and musical spirituals with people in the community. Like I said before, it's not that really portrayed in society and worldly music. So being a part of that, and with the help of Brother Terrence, I really wanted to help the community and help the choir, and I was asked to, actually, and by Brother Terrence. And I juggle all of this with my mom. My mother, Leatrice Tomlinson, helps me with every single thing. She takes me to my sisters and I to school. She takes us to rehearsal. She helps us rehearse. She helps us sing. And she is a wonderful singer as well. And she directs the Imani Community Church's children's choir. And my friends also help me. They encourage me. They're always there. People I can talk to love my mother, my grandmother, and my great aunt.
So it's a family affair.
Yes.
So tell me about these women that you admire, these strong women, particularly the woman that you're named after.
Well, Elithi is like my great-great-grandmother. I was named after her, Elitha Aliyah. My mom named me that because my mom didn't really have a grandmother. So that was her inspiration for me. She always used to make her cookies and do the things that a grandmother would do. And another woman in my life I inspire is my grandmother, because she had little education, and currently right now she brought it up. She raised 2 children, and she has her own business. So that also really inspires me to go from having very little to having a lot. And also, a man in my life I inspire is Brother Terrence, because he is so willing to anything. He is an opera singer, and he helps both choirs, Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir and Oakland Interfaith Youth. And by his, like, I'm inspired by his willingness to help people. And those are the people I inspire.
So are you traveling somewhere special? Like, you know, you've been to the Caribbean. And
yes.
Are you planning on doing any other travel, like maybe in the summer of next year or spring?
Well, yes. Next year, the Oakland Interfaces Choir is planning to go to New Orleans.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. And right now, I'm not doing much traveling, just schoolwork right now.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm planning to go to Costa Rica again with the Imani Community Church.
Oh, so you all go there often to Costa Rica? I mean, do you all
yes.
have like a ministry there or something?
Yes, it's a musical institute where we do basketball, dance, singing, solos, praise and worship, and things like that. And it's a musical institute, and we just, with the kids in Limon, it's fun. It's something for them to do during the summer and better their ministries and what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why don't you tell us what it's like there? A lot of my listeners probably haven't been to Costa Rica before. What's it like there? Tell us, you know, sort of, you know, what it looks like there and, you know, compared to, let's say, Oakland and, you know, with regards to the resources. I mean, do people grow gardens? You know, sort of what does it look like there? Oh, I think that's Terrence joining us. Let me see.
Okay.
Yeah. So you won't have to talk so much, but let me see if that's Terrence.
Okay.
Good morning. Is that you, Terrence?
Yes, this is Terrence.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, Aaliyah's been
good
doing
morning.
Very well representing. She's telling us a little bit about Costa Rica, and then I want to let you talk a little bit. Go ahead, Aaliyah. Tell us about Costa Rica.
Costa Rica is so, so beautiful. The beaches, the people there are so nice. It's just so beautiful, and they're black people in Limon, and I would say compared to Oakland, it's similar. And in Limon, yeah.
So, Terrence, good morning. Thank you so much for getting up so early to talk to us. We really appreciate it. You are the founder of the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir, and saw you rehearsing these young folks at the Imani Community Church, getting them ready for the holiday concert this coming Sunday. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about what does it mean having an intern director of the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir's Youth Choir?
Well, we believe in our youth, and we want them to be able to get some training even before college so that when they're in college, they're more ready to take on the tasks that come their way. So I've always tried to have an intern or two so that not only did I have help, but they were growing musically and getting specific information that's going to help them grow in their knowledge.
Yeah. Are you still with us?
Yes.
Terrence, are you with us? Uh-oh. I don't know if he's still with us. Let me see. No, we lost him. I was wondering, Aaliyah, would you mind singing something for us?
No, I would love to sing.
Okay, go ahead, sing something. Yeah, what would you like to sing for us?
I would sing, Oh, Give Thanks.
Okay.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His mercy endures forever and ever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for He is good.
That's
just a little part of it.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's a great teaser. Terrence is back with us.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I just kind of went away.
Oh, yeah, sometimes. That's okay. Now you're back. So you were saying.
Yeah, well,
you were talking about how, you know, you always have, you know, an intern as a part of your, I guess, programming around the choirs to, so, you know, before they go to college so they can have a taste of that leadership, I presume.
Yeah.
That's where you left off before we were disconnected.
Yeah, well, it's important, you know, that our kids have those leadership skills when they go to college. You know, you want to give them every advantage so that they don't just meld into the crowd. If they have those leadership skills, they stand out and they're more likely to do better and take those leadership roles on into college and into life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Earlier in the show, I played the interview with Michelle Rosewoman, whom I know you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And she was in town maybe a couple of months ago, maybe just a month ago, to inaugurate the Ed Kelly concert hall at the Oakland Public Conservatory. And your sisters were Skyped in, or they were there.
Yeah, they were
technology. Yeah, yeah, and you know, and everyone who knows the choir, who's from the San Francisco Bay Area, probably, but maybe not. They might have, you know, heard about, you know, your mother and father. You know, your mother, Faye Kelly, was a pianist and director of the gospel choir at Allen Temple Baptist Church in Laney College, and then your father, Ed Kelly, was a highly regarded gospel and jazz pianist, and you're, you know, Casamat High School Castellier alum, and member of the Merritt College Traveling Voices, and you sang with the Texas Southern, I guess Texas Southern maybe, or South University.
Texas Southern.
Yeah, I thought it was Southern. I know Southern. University Concert Choir. And then, you know, since 1986, you've been, like, known as the man who started, co-founded the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir. And, you know, you've got other accolades, and you all have a new CD out, right?
We do. It's called Hear Our Prayer. And hopefully next year we'll have a youth choir CD to come out.
Nice, nice, yeah. And you've got, I think, about maybe two or three more concerts. You were with the Let Us Break Bread this past Sunday, and the week before that, you know, you had your own concert. I know you're going to be at Slim's, and you were, I don't know, you were at a South Bay somewhere. Anyway, you've got, like, maybe, what, two or three more concerts before the end of the year?
You're keeping up.
Yeah, I want to try to make another one.
We have our Mountain View concert at the City for Performing Arts, Mountain View Center for Performing Arts, coming up on the 20th. I think it's the 20th. I have so many dates. Then Slim's is on the 24th, which is Christmas Eve. It's
right.
Two hot shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our youth choir concert this Sunday at Imani Community Church, and that's going to be a great, great show.
Mm-hmm.
Great show.
I was asking Aaliyah how she juggles everything. How do you juggle everything?
Ooh, we.
Then you get up and talk to us.
Just keeping up with the calendar.
Yeah. So when you founded the youth choir, what made you take the choir in your work into that direction? You know, I think about there aren't that many youth choirs, particularly youth choirs that are singing, you know, gospel music. I can't think of a whole lot of them.
Yeah, youth choirs are, you know, kind of a dying enterprise, especially in the inner city and in the suburbs and stuff. They still do a lot of, you know, choir and marching bands and stuff like that. But, you know, music, through the discipline of learning music, youth, their grades go up, they get more grounded, they learn to work with other youth better. All of those things come out of marching band and choir and things like that. today's music where everybody's a solo artist and, you know, everybody's a rapper or a singer, it doesn't really give them that sense of community and that work ethic. So it's important to me that they still, some people still have that ability to come and work together so that they learn how, you know, to have conflict resolution and all those kinds of things, plus be able to sing and have the fun of travel and mutual music expression. So it's real important to me because I was a Castellier, and I saw what being a Castellier did for me and a lot of my friends that were inner city youths. You know, we had these opportunities to go sing at the White House, to sing in Hawaii, to sing and tour the South. You know, some people have never left the state since that time, you know, of being a Castellier. So these are awesome opportunities for our kids and growth opportunities. We have a 98% go-to-college rate in the Oakland Interfaith Youth Gospel Choir. That's amazing.
That really is. 98%, that's wonderful. Wow. Wow. How many youth have come through the choir since you founded it?
Eek. A lot. And we've had, some of the reigning professionals in the area now. Kamaria, she's a singer. She sings all over the country with Lettucey and by herself. And then we have Michaela Cheadle, who was an Oakland Interfaith Youth Gospel Choir member, and she's a performing singer in the area. We have Philip Harris, who's doing his master's at Michigan in a vocal program. We've had graduates from Stanford, Berkeley, School of Music, University of Cal Berkeley, Texas Southern, Brown. We have a student doing their post-degree at Harvard right now. We had people all over the country at these prestigious universities. And we figure if it's that high of a ratio, and then within that 98% that graduates and goes to college, about 80% goes to colleges like Stanford, like Clark, Spelman, Morehouse. We've had kids in all of those schools. My son graduated. He was in a choir from Hampton. So, you know, it's just awesome. We think that it gives kids a different sense of focus and commitment and even community that helps them get through those things. So, and plus they sound good.
Right, yeah. Have you recorded them yet?
We're working on that for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to get all the kids together for a week of recording, but we're working on that for next year, so keep us in mind for some radio play early in the next year.
Oh, that would be awesome. And Aaliyah mentioned that you all are going to New Orleans next year.
We are going to New Orleans to take place in a Music Contact International tour, and we'll be singing at maybe Ebenezer Church, I think, in New Orleans. We'll be taking a tour on the swamps, and we'll be singing at a plantation and just giving the kids a different view of life, because, you know, a lot of them don't even understand the connection to the South through gospel music. So we're going to do that, and it's going to be great. And they're going to sing with another choir too, so it's going to be awesome.
Oh, nice. What months are you going to be touring the South?
May, June.
So like a month, huh?
The end of May, the very end of May into the beginning of June. So.
Oh, okay. Like maybe a week or two?
Yeah, just a week.
Oh, just a week. Wow, that sounds awesome. I was just saying that maybe I could try to be there. Yeah, wow. Yeah, we were talking about the connection between, you know, the Negro spiritual and telling the stories of our community, particularly, you know, stories about freedom and how to get free. And,
Yeah.
So actually to be in the place, you know, where these songs were created and,
Yeah,
that was a boy. I mean, that's going to really be something.
It's going to be very powerful.
Definitely. Wow.
Yep.
And you have
Charleston.
Sorry, go ahead.
the adult choir went to Charleston last year, and we sang at a plantation.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. We did a spirituals concert at a plantation. It was, I mean, everybody from the choir to the 150 or so people that were attendees was crying at the end of the concert. It was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it's really wonderful, you know, not just the plantation house, but, you know, the places where they haven't destroyed the enslaved population's cabins, you know, to be able to, like, go out in the field and see where our ancestors, you know, lived. Or,
yeah.
Like, those kind of structures, and to be able to, like, touch the ground, and it's like, wow, it's sort of like really conjuring up all that energy.
Oh, yeah, we walked through the slave quarters, and that's on the list of things for them to do, is to actually walk through a slave quarter and things like that.
Oh, wow. Where are they, because I know they aren't intact everywhere. Where specifically are you going to be going for the slave quarters? Is there more than one place, or?
Well, I don't have the full name of the plantation yet, but it's somewhere around Biloxi, Mississippi, which is right outside of New Orleans.
Right, yeah, southern part of Mississippi. Yeah, I've got family there. Oh, yeah, I was born in New Orleans, and when I went back home, you know, as an adult, I wanted to see some plantations, and they had made them into, like, resort areas, and I didn't want to see one of those kind. You know, where you go spend the night and have what's a bed and breakfast. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not.
No, we want the real deal.
Right. So you have to go to Mississippi, I noticed, because I went on one of those, and I couldn't find any in New Orleans that were intact.
Yeah.
So I had to go to Mississippi to find one where it was a museum, and they hadn't made it into, you know, made it all fancy and nice when the history was so stark and horrible.
Yeah, well, she did mention Biloxi, so maybe it is in Biloxi, the actual, because, you know, what is that? 15 minutes away. So.
Yeah, it's close. Biloxi is really close. Yeah. Not 15 minutes, but it's close. I noticed that the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir has, you know, traveled, you know, throughout the country and, you know, performed in many musical festivals. You've all have been, like, in, you performed for, like, Nelson Mandela, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Mikhail Gorbachev. You performed at the White House. Are any of those type of performances sort of in the plans for the young people?
Well, we're working towards those kinds of things. We're working with Jerry Brown's folks to see if we can get them to sing at the governor's, you know, event.
Oh.
So keep us in your, you know, your thoughts and prayers and meditations, because, you know, all of those things help change their view too. So we have big things coming for them, but we're doing a big rebuild right now, and I'm just really, really excited about how great they sound, because last year we lost we had 21 last year, we lost 10 to college.
Wow.
Half of the choir, and so Aaliyah, until we auditioned a few more people, Aaliyah was at 15, one of the most senior members left.
Wow! So Aaliyah, at 15, you're a senior. Isn't that amazing?
Well, we re-auditioned some more, and so she's not the oldest anymore. For a couple of rehearsals, she was almost one of those. Her and I think one other young lady at 16 was the oldest. So we have a few more that have come on, and so she has a little more help now, because we have a lot of 13-year-olds now. So that's really good for us, because we have a while to work with them and groom them and grow them. So that's great. So we're working that way.
Right. How do young people audition, you know, that are interested in being a part of the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir's youth choir?
They should contact the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir office at 510-839-4361. And just come down and audition for me any Saturday that we have rehearsal, which is every Saturday at 5 o'clock at United Community Church.
Oh, okay, super. And they should definitely come to the concert this Sunday, December 16th, 7 o'clock, because then they'll be able to say, ooh, yes, I want to be a part of this.
That's right, because they're going to be sounding and looking great and having fun.
Yeah, yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about your collaboration with or your home at the Imani Community Church? I've never been in it prior to coming to the rehearsal last Saturday. I see it when I drive, you know, up and down MacArthur, and I just like the name Imani Faith, right? But it's a really nice space.
Yeah, it's we are just now celebrating our 16th year.
Wow.
As a congregation, our pastor is Dr. George Cummings, and we have a fabulous congregation of people that come together in worship, you know, and dance and praise and community. We raise our kids together, and we really are the village that people talk about. I'm very proud to say that about my church. I raised my son in Oakland, and Imani was part of the village that helped raise him and, you know, make him the successful young man that he is today. And I'm sure a lot of other parents can say the same thing about Imani. So it's such a wonderful church and family and fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aaliyah, how do you feel about Imani Church?
I think Imani, over the years, to me, it's become a family because there's so much support and support of each other in the church. And Imani is, yeah, it's a family because there aren't many churches like that in this community. It's Afrocentric, and that's one of the things that I really like about it. And, yes, and they share the same values as my family and I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you mean when you say African-centered or Afrocentric?
I mean, that's one of the churches that celebrates Kwanzaa.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about the community. They acknowledge slavery, and they acknowledge the importance of Black people in the community and the importance of our ancestors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know you have to go to school, Aaliyah, and parents, I really appreciate your joining us. And I was just wondering, you can send me some music later to play between now and Sunday, because I have another radio show tomorrow.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask you both, because next year is pretty significant. It's the 50th anniversary since the I Have a Dream speech and the March on Washington, and it's the 100th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation being written by President Abraham Lincoln. So I was wondering, sort of looking at freedom, you know, and Negro spiritual sort of represents that for me. And your legacy, you know, you're singing these songs our ancestors sang, you know, you sing Negro spirituals, and then the gospel songs, you know, sort of come out of the gospel, if I remember my history correctly, you know. And so, you know, that's those scriptures that talk about love and compassion and all that. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about thematically how, sort of how that fits in with the vision of the choir. The choirs that you founded, Terrence, and the choirs that you sing with and are getting ready to be intern director of, Aaliyah.
Well, it's important to me. Both choirs always have spirituals in the repertoire, and it's really important to me because without spirituals and work songs, you know, there would be no non-Indigenous American music, because spirituals and work songs are the forefront of all American music, except for the indigenous music of the people that were here when we were brought over, or when other people came. So it's I'm excited about this year because the choir has a CD that is all spiritual.
Oh.
And the youth choir sings a few spirituals as well. That's one of our hallmarks, as a matter of fact, that we do perform spirituals and we perform them well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about this year. We're thinking about doing a concert of just spirituals to honor that this year.
Oh, that's going to be so awesome. And you all are participating in the Name of Love, too, for Martin King Day. This coming year, right? And then Jennifer Holiday is going to be sort of the one of the guest features at that great concert on January 19th. I think that's the
mm-hmm.
Sunday. Yeah. Oh, no, the Saturday. Yeah.
And then
and
on the
21st. That's right around the inauguration. Say that again?
Yeah, and then on the 21st, the kids will be singing, Oakland Faith Youth Choir will be singing at a Martin Luther King program that's put on at McClyman's by some people in Oakland, Aisha and some other people, and it's become a really big thing. Matthew Fox comes and he's headlines, and they'll be singing there, and they will definitely be doing a spiritual that day.
Nice, awesome.
And that's on the 21st of January.
Okay, well, people, I hope you have your pens ready, putting the stuff in your date book. Oh, that is awesome. And then you also have instrumental musicians. I noticed you have a band of young people playing with the vocalists in the youth choir. These are also young musicians, right?
Oh, no.
Oh, no? Those are your regular musicians?
Yeah, we have the same band, yeah.
Oh, you don't have a youth band yet? Okay.
We're trying. If anybody plays out there and they're young and they want to get some training, give us a call.
Okay, so they can people can audition for the band too, huh?
They can.
Okay. So, Leah, your thoughts on 2013?
Excuse me?
Your thoughts on the 2013 is real significant African American history. Is the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. And it's the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s March on Washington and his I Have a Dream speech.
Yes.
So your thoughts on that?
Excuse me? Wait.
Your thoughts on that.
Sorry for the car on my way to school.
What part did you hear?
I heard after 2013...
The Emancipation Proclamation, that President Abraham Lincoln authored, and it's having its 150th anniversary this coming year. January 1st is the 150th anniversary. And on that day, African Americans that were enslaved here in this country, they were free. If they could get away. And that particular day is a day that was celebrated called a Jubilee, January 1st. And then a lot of times they have what's called a watch night, and people pray December 31st into January 1st because on January 1st, that's the true day of freedom for African-American people legally, even though we had to have the Civil War and all that other stuff. First, so your thoughts on freedom in light of what you do as an artist?
My thoughts on freedom. In terms of music, singing, especially gospel music, is like an expression. It's getting out what you feel, and it's breaking free from anything that you have down at It's a connection with God. It's a connection with your ancestors, and it's breaking free.
Wow, how well said. Thank you so much, Aaliyah, and you have a wonderful day at school. Tell your mother thank you for everything.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you take good care.
Bye.
Right, bye-bye. Wow, what a wonderful young woman, Terrence.
Oh, she is so awesome. She did a solo to a spiritual, to a Negro spiritual, mm-hmm. at the Oakland Interfaith Holiday Concert at the Panama on the 1st, and mm-hmm. she got a standing ovation. She did a beautiful job.
Yeah, it was just wonderful, and I'm like, wow. I'm looking forward to that recording, and I'm so happy she's not going to be graduating yet. So she,
yes. So she'll me be too. On
that. Yeah.
I was looking on our webpage, and if people want to see a bit of our performance at the plantation in New Orleans, it's actually on our page.
Oh, seriously? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Great. So just go to the go to your website?
Uh-huh, OIGC.org.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and
okay.
Right at the bottom is the Charleston International Choir Festival performance, and it shows us singing at the plantation right outside on the steps, and it's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your range, oh, my goodness. I mean, you're just, so fun, as you were talking to the audience and then getting serious and conducting. And then when you had that little skit during the second part of the program where the sisters came out in their hats and their furs and things like that. That was so fun. And then your solo, oh, my God, it's a good thing you put it toward the end, because who could follow that?
Oh, thank you so much.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. We just enjoy singing. And, mm-hmm. We come together, as people of different races and faiths and economic backgrounds and all, so many differences. Really, we shouldn't be singing together. That's what people would say.
Mm-hmm.
But we come together and agree to disagree on the things that aren't important so that we can sing and show people, model what the world could look like if people could, just get over stuff that doesn't need to be concentrated on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Your choir is a model, and it's too bad when people think about putting groups together, they don't see, the choir as a model, and maybe they should sing more. Maybe the cabinet in D.C., maybe the president, maybe the Congress should sing. Maybe the Senate should sing.
I agree.
yeah. Well, maybe you could use your your connections to that's too bad you're not going to be performing at the inauguration.
Oh, I know. I wish we could. We keep trying to get connected, but mm-hmm. it hasn't happened yet. So
yeah, but you got 4 years to get to the White House, though, and maybe once you get to the White House, they can have you sing for the Senate and for the Congress and for the Cabinet, the place where people are, and the Supreme Court for sure.
We would love all of that.
Yeah, that'd be really, really super. So, lastly, I said the other one was lastly, but I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about coming up in a household where music seemed to be everywhere.
That's true. We would have family sing along,
uh-huh.
And in our house, the tradition was, at Easter, my dad would sit down like the night before Easter.
Mm-hmm.
We'd all get new clothes because on Easter, in the black church, all the kids get new clothes and come to church sharp on Easter, right?
Right.
So we would get our clothes and put them on, and then Dad would sit down on the piano and play, and we'd have to come downstairs and model for Mom.
Mm.
So we'd put our clothes on, come downstairs and model for Mom, and then everybody would sit on the couch and take a picture, that kind of stuff. But we thought that was normal, but as we've gotten older, we've learned that, everybody didn't do that kind of stuff. We had an interesting and fun childhood because of our parents and their theatrical proclivities, the kinds of things that would go on at my house, little shows. We'd make up shows for our parents while they were gone. We had all kinds of fun. Both of my sisters are awesome singers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and we have the Kelly family group until, you know, they moved away. They're both in the South now. So, but until they moved
South,
away.
In like, South, like where you're visiting South, like in Mississippi or Louisiana kind of South or Texas?
Well, I have three sisters, and they are in respectively Texas, Georgia, and Florida.
Oh, okay. All different southern states. Wow. Okay.
All different states.
Yeah. Nice. Wow. Oh, so you had your own family ensemble. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Did you make any recordings before they moved?
No, we did not. No.
You'll have to have a reunion, like maybe you have the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir featuring, you know, your family group.
We've thought about a reunion. That would be fun.
Yeah, because I don't think I saw you all before everyone moved away.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while now, so.
Yeah, cool.
Well, my sisters are singers.
Yeah, that's really amazing, though, for one family to have so many superstars. Like, that's great. With your family, your mother and father, like, just made things so much easier for them, you know, that everyone had talent, huh?
Yeah, we used to go to restaurants and do birthdays. And after the family got through singing happy birthday in 3- or 4-part harmony, the whole restaurant would clap.
That's wonderful. Oh, that's really great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm going to see you Sunday at that concert. I have, like, put that there, and it's like, okay, that's all I'm doing on Sunday evening. I don't care what's going on. I got to see those young people perform a whole evening of songs. That's going to be so wonderful.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. We have a program of songs from the youth choir with a couple of youth choir members that have gone on to start their own careers.
Oh, nice.
They're both in college right now. One is Crystal Kelly. She's an awesome singer. She's coming back this year to sing a song with the youth choir. And Mr. Chris Pierce, who's doing wonderful things and singing in the community, he's coming back to sing with them to do a song this year as well. So it's going to be great, great, great. And we're looking for youth to come and participate and, you know, in the concert to check us out and maybe audition and join us next year.
Right. Yeah, that's great. That's really great. It's going to really be fun. Do you happen to know the address of Imani Community Church offhand? I know it's on MacArthur.
3300 MacArthur.
And the concert is at 7 p.m. on Sunday, December 16th. So
If people have questions, they can look on the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir website at www.oigc.org and or call 510-839-4361.
Okay, cool. And then I'm on your website, and where can people watch that video? Is it here, the OIGCs? Is that where you can see the video?
I thought it was a video. It's just pictures. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Oh, well, people are going to have to check it out.
But the video is on YouTube. I am positive of that. The video is on YouTube.
So people just need to punch it.
In front of the spiritual. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. I'll look for it there then. If I find it, or when I find it, I should say, I'll put a link on the website.
Yeah, it's there for sure. I know it's on YouTube.
All right, cool. Super. Well, you have a good rest of the day.
Thank you as well and everybody else. God bless.
God bless you too. Peace and blessings.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So we're going to play this Michelle Rose Woman, Vamp for Oshun, and then we're going to shift right into Michael White, Land of Spirit and Light. And we're going to play Land of Spirit and Light. I believe there are a couple of part one, part two, part three. So, and then don't forget to tune in tomorrow because we're having a special broadcast of Wanda's Picks at 9 o'clock in the morning because on Friday we're going to have to rebroadcast that show or rebroadcast a show because I am going to be giving the finals, my finals, and they start at 8 o'clock, darn it, same time as the show. So we're going to have a special broadcast tomorrow and then we're going to rebroadcast it on Friday. So peace and blessings, everyone. And there must be some significance to the 12-12-2012. Not certain what it is, but I'm sure it has some significance for those who know about these things. Vampiro Shun.